Welcome to Success Stories, brought to you by SNS Activewear. I'm your host, Marshall Atkinson, and this is the podcast that focuses on what's working so you can have success too. If there's one person that is uniquely qualified to discuss the future of the industry, it's Paul Bellantone with Halo Branded Solutions. He recently made the switch from running PPAI, an organization dedicated to the advancement and education of the promotional products industry, to a senior VP role of sales at Halo. In this Success Stories podcast, we'll discuss the transition from his serving the industry to selling to the industry and where he feels the big moves will be in the coming year. Get your paper and pen out and be ready to take some notes. This one's going to be on fire. So, Paul, welcome to the Success Stories podcast.
Marshall, it is such a pleasure to be here with you. This is terrific.
Yeah, I can't wait. And I'm so honored that you're here. I think it's really interesting from how you move from serving the industry to selling in the industry. And I think that's going to be kind of an eye-opening experience for a lot of people that are around you, maybe even you yourself. I think it's going to be, it's so fascinating, that part of your journey. And
yeah, it has definitely been a journey. It's been two decades that I've been in the promotional products world and in the decorated products world. But the roles really between running PPAI and having a senior position at Halo, not too different. They both focus on two core things, growing and protecting. And when I was at PPAI, my job was to grow and protect the industry, the practitioners, to make sure that buyers knew who we were and why our industry was so successful and why we were around for centuries. With Halo, my job's a little bit different. It's growing, protecting the brands that we're representing. We've gone from the macro of growing and protecting promotional products and every one of the practitioners. Now, my job is to make sure that our AEs, our salespeople, our company are growing and protecting the brands who've entrusted us for us to be their distributor. So for me, it's getting to work a little bit more where the rubber meets the road. I used to talk to those companies about the value of promotional products, of decorated products, of getting a brand out there. And now I'm working with specific companies to make sure that their brands are successful in using promotional products. But it is a journey.
Right. So are you helping with the training and recruiting of the sales team at Halo also?
I am. It's training, it's recruiting, and it's talking to customers about why we have a unique offering in the marketplace that we think can benefit them. So I do all of those things. The interesting thing is, Marshall, we have over 1,000 salespeople at Halo, and each of them comes to me thinking that I have this great wisdom about selling promotional products. I've never made a promotional product and I've never sold a promotional product. So I'm actually learning the nuts and bolts of the industry, the things that you're an expert at. I'm learning as I'm moving into the job about what it actually takes to get these things into the marketplace. And, I think we're going to talk a little bit about how much fun that's been trying to get product into the marketplace these days.
Right. So it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz moment, like the curtains pull back and here he is.
Yeah. And unfortunately, some days you don't know what you're going to see on the other side of the curtain. Right. And it's definitely been an interesting time to learn that.
That's great. So you ready to get into some questions?
Let's do it.
Okay. So as you're in this new role at the start of the year, what do you see as the things that listeners should be paying attention to and building into their sales offering for this year?
You know, we're now 18, a good 18, 19 months into the pandemic. We had a full year of it. We had three quarters of it. And I think that we all thought that this was going to end a little bit sooner along the way. When it first started, it was going to be, oh, we'll be back to normal by Memorial Day, and it'll be Labor Day, and it'll be Easter, and then Thanksgiving. Well, 2021 is going to be completely different, and it hasn't been. Like, we're still struggling with, even if not specifically COVID, the pandemic, really the challenges that it's presented into our supply chain. So for me, I think it's an opportunity for us to recognize that, one, here's an opportunity for us to earn those nice margins that we make right? It's no longer just a job of procurement of product, because on any given day, the product can be there, cannot be there. There are different ways of using it now. We should be paying attention to the fact that constant change will be a new normal for a very, very long time, long beyond the pandemic. I think people thought it was going to be a light switch, Marshall, that as soon as we had a vaccine, everything will become back to normal. I think that this went on long enough where nothing will be normal again. I don't know that people will ever go back to offices again. So how do you recruit and retain and recognize employees? That's now up to us to figure that out. How are customers going to be engaging with businesses? That's now our job to figure that out. And I think the people who figure that out and offer those suggestions own the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I've been talking about this for a while. And what I've been using, the term I've been using is the next normal. So yes, what we had pre-COVID, we're never going back there. It's just kind of like that old adage where you can't step into the same river twice, right? Because yes, the current's moving. We're never going back there. So what's ahead of us is going to be the normal. And so I was just thinking when I was listening to you answer, you know, right now we're having a hard time with inventory. We're having a hard time securing the goods and getting stuff from, you know, so much of this industry stuff is made overseas, right? So I was thinking maybe you're going to see a resurgence in Made in America or Canada or Mexico or something where you don't have to get it on a boat to get it here. I don't even know. I'm just, it was just my thought. Are there any like directions? Do you see any canary in the coal mines for that happening, do you think?
I think that there will be. I think that there will be a shift in who we depend on and dependence on different countries, but I can't see that again turning like a light switch. What would it take to retool that? I mean, you think of some of the biggest industries like the automotive industry and, well, take automotive. They can't get chips, enough chips to build the new cars. You would think if anybody can retool quickly to build a component, to put a product in the marketplace, an industry like that could do it. I don't know that our industry is large enough and forceful enough and drives enough commerce to have that happen. So yes, I think we'll see it in the margins, but I don't think that there will be a wholesale shift to US made. There have been a number of other instances where supply chains have, you know, we've struggled with them, whether it was about tariffs or about product responsibility. And we really didn't see the wholesale shift to US made. We may see more U.S. labor, right, but I'm not sure about the product themselves. And then I think we also need to think, Marshall, that if we can't get the raw materials here in the country, because we're still having, you know, even right, every part of the supply chain is struggling and challenged right now, not just the finished product coming over.
Right, right. And so when we're also, just to kind of piggyback on your first statement, I think when we're trying to help our customers, you know, who have work from home or they're doing, you know, part-time in the office and they're doing different things, do you see the huge ramp up in online stores and fulfillment as being still a key part of this industry moving through 2022? Because I think that's still going to be germane to everybody's success, don't you think?
I do. I think as you have dispersed groups, when you're not having all of the t-shirts delivered to one location or all of the recognition products delivered to one location for an event, you're going to have more online. You're going to count on more technology. You're going to be counting on more fulfillment and more dropship capabilities. And that's going to shift not only the distributors that are out there and how they're working with their customers, but, you know, there's going to be a new breed of suppliers that's embedded in the products that they're buying, that they're great, that their core functionality, that their core value to the marketplace is not the product, but their ability to deliver product to different places on time in cost-effective ways. You know, Marsha, we were talking a little bit earlier, and you're brushing up on 30 years in this industry. So you've seen recessions, you've seen, oh, geez, we've had two wars, we've had the Great Recession, we've had terrorist attacks. And that's on one side. That's on the societal side of it. You've also seen the advent of computers being brought into our industry and the different types of decorating methods. Has there been anything in your 30 years that has had as large an impact as COVID and the ongoing supply chain issues we're having now?
No. And I think the biggest challenge is the fact that people are scrambling for labor. They can't get enough people to help them, because when we downsized, all those people went and found something else to do. And I've been studying this, and there has been such a huge shift in the number of small businesses that have started. It's record breaking. You know, right. I was just looking at some labor statistics actually this morning, and usually there's each state, we're almost 40 to 50% more small businesses that start up per month. Every state's got different rates, but all these people, when you downsize, they had to go find something else to do. They've started their own business. The people that were at retirement age, they just went ahead and retired. They're not coming back either, right? And so that's why we have such a huge challenge. And so what's happening is these are the people that we depend on to drive the trucks or to answer the phone, or they're a waitress, or they're in the screen printing shop, or whatever they're doing, they've moved to some other industry and they're doing things. And then you have key industries, I think, with lots of capital who have really raised the bar on how much wages they're offering. And so that's why you see in some cities, working at a Subway, they're making $22 or $25 an hour to make, a ham sandwich, right? So the local people that we've been depending on this industry for workers to staff, they can't compete with that, right? Which is why you're seeing lots of price increases and all kinds of just disruption. And I can't remember another time where we couldn't get garments, we couldn't get white ink, we couldn't get stuff shipped, and we've always complained about shipping, right? UPS, FedEx, Postal Service, whatever, but they eventually delivered. And now they don't have employees, so they're running late. And it's just crazy domino effect that's happening. And I think 2023, we might be out of this thing, right? Yeah. I don't see it's 2022, this year just started. I don't think that we're out of the woods anytime soon.
You know, that scope creep is real, because in 2019 and 2020, it became, well, 2021, we're going to be okay. And now it's 2022, it's going to be okay. And I think, there's two ways you can look at scope creep. It's either scope creep, like how long is it going to last, or knowledge creep. We know more now than we did when we made that first prediction. I think what's key to what you were saying, in those 30 years that you had and the 20 years I had, we've seen supply chain issues. We've seen shortages on certain products. We've seen labor issues. We've seen price compressions and all of these different dynamics. We've never seen them all at the same time. The thing that's saving us, though, Marshall, is that so are our customers experience the same thing. It's not like they're only not getting what they need from their promotional products distributor, or they're only not getting what they need from their, name industry, from their car industry, the auto industry, or any other industry. We don't have to over-explain the challenges that we have, because they know it. They feel it in their own businesses, and there's that uncertainty. All we need to do is provide industry-specific solutions of how we can help them. And I think there's so many ways that we can help people right now. During the holiday rush, right? Think how much sooner we had our customers ordering product that they wouldn't have ordered until September or October in a normal year for a November or December delivery. You start backing that up. Those salespeople who didn't make those recommendations lost customers. And you know what? They didn't say, hey, here's a product and I think this is going to be great. The smart people are saying, here's a product and I think it's going to be great, but here's our plan B, because inventory is running low on this. And here's our plan C. And by the way, you don't have 2 weeks to make this decision anymore. We need to make it in days because I cannot guarantee inventory. There are so many opportunities now for us to be those trusted counselors and coaches to our clients that have more meaningful impact than they probably ever had before. You know, every one of those customers out there that used to know how they were acquiring new customers, every one of our customers that were acquiring new customers or needed new employees or wanted to recognize and retain employees, they used to know how to do that. They were the expert and they were telling us. Now we're telling them things that we're doing in our industry to help them do that because they don't have the answer. What a great way to justify wonderful margins and build strong client relationships. It's really, I believe, an opportune time for companies to differentiate and add value in a market.
And it's the people who have the solutions are the trusted advisors, you know?
Absolutely.
That's where our value is. And I think this is a great segue into my next question. So Halo has got over 1,000 sales staff, and you were just talking about that. So where do you see people having success that are at the top of their game? You know, what is the differentiator with those folks? Is it just that expertise thing that we're just talking about, or is there something that's a little deeper?
Well, I think the expertise needs to be there. Regardless, you should really have expertise. We're not in an economy right now where you just hold the bucket up and the orders fall into your pocket. So the expertise, I think, is evenly distributed. You have, but it's really the confidence and the mental mindset that this isn't just you. It's happening to everybody, and you have to get up and deal with it directly. You know, people who are successful are the ones who've met their customers where they are, whether that's they wanted to meet in the tangible meetings, whether they wanted to meet online, whether they wanted to do Zoom calls or meet in coffee shops. It's those people who really re-listened to their customers' challenges, if they had the same buyer at all, and what other roles and responsibilities does that buyer have now that they didn't have before? The ones that are addressing this by saying, what are the new challenges you're having in your new role in this pandemic with a supply chain issue? Not, hey, when's your next golf tournament? We need to order early. So those that are taking that real mindset to the game with them are the ones that are differentiating and winning more often and winning bigger.
So it's asking great questions, active listening, being the source of reason and building that trust with the customer. That's what's really winning.
It is. It's a recognition that your customer's business is as different as yours is, that they're not any more certain about things in their business as we are in ours. And I think when you approach it that way, when you approach it with the humility to say, hey, we know that a lot of things are going on and you might be uncertain, but what are the things that you think, the problems that you know you have now that we may never even talked about before? The level of the conversation becomes so much deeper, but it's only the salesperson who can approach it with that, with their own level of self-confidence and their own servant leadership, I think, are the ones that are winning right now. And again, winning big, because they're moving across organizations like they hadn't before.
And what are there tools that people are using? I mean, is it more video calls? Is it a better drip marketing newsletter campaign? What's really, do you think, that's really helping augment this whole process?
All of the above. I can remember 10 years ago, Marshall, I said, I'm never doing business by text messaging. I just said that. I just said, that's the line. When that happens, I'm out of the market. I communicate with my AEs the way they want to be communicated. We have everything from faxes to team meetings going simultaneously while people are on Zoom calls, in Starbucks checking text messages. You know, there's nothing is really ever replaced. I think it's just additive. We get better at it, we adapt to it, and we respond to our customers the way that they need to communicate. I do think that there is a clamoring for face-to-face meetings, and I think we're going to see more of that. But I don't think Zoom calls are going away. I think that they'll just be another part of the way that we service clients. But I don't think it's going to replace live meetings, and live meetings will not replace Zoom calls.
So as a company, is Halo investing in video call training and the tech support and the bandwidth and the cameras and microphones and all that kind of stuff? Are you guys setting people up for success to make sure they have the right tools?
All of the above. And it's a recognition of what our customers want. And it's a recognition of, one, how our AEs want to be communicated to. Because we have some that still want me to pick up the phone. I'll pick up the phone. Some want a text. But it's also a reflection of how their customers want them to respond. And like you said, Marshall, I think it was really interesting. People, you know, there are some people who are not being successful in this or who've just decided, you know what, I think this is a good opportunity for me to shift careers and do something else. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I did it. I decided I wanted a different challenge. But in every one of those challenges, there's an opportunity. You mentioned something, and it really struck me that there are more small businesses right now opening than ever before. And even prior to the pandemic, there were 28 million small businesses in the United States. I happen to know that. Well, the average order size for promotional products is what? $800, $850. And they're generally virally distributed, probably the wrong word to use these days, virally distributed. But all of those businesses, we are their perfect medium. Small orders, relationship driven. So that's more opportunities for us to sell. We're not selling ads on the Goodyear blimp or during Super Bowl or on TV commercials. We're selling products that all size companies can benefit from, especially small companies.
Like what you hear so far? Be sure to subscribe so you can get the latest from Success Stories. And now, here's Brittany Tuccheroni with the SNS Spotlight.
Recently, inventory has been a hassle to deal with. And because of that, it's more important than ever before to know when something's back in stock. That's why we've added a new feature to our website that'll make it easier for you when inventory's low. The next time you run into a style that's completely out of stock, you'll see a brand new button under its price, labeled Notify. Clicking this button will sign you up to receive an email when inventory has been added into our warehouses. Can't wait for more inventory to come in? Use the Order Comparables button on each product page to look through the inventory of styles that are similar to the one that's currently out of stock. For a closer look at these features and other helpful tools, head on over to the Help Center at ssactiveware.com and click on Website Video Guides. Thanks for listening.
These days, it often feels like the decoration part of the order is the easier task. The logistics of that order is where everybody is stubbing their toe, right? So what do you feel we need to be able to get back on track? And I think this is something that everybody's struggling with right now.
You know, I wish I had, or we had as a company or as an industry, a silver bullet, because I think some version of this is happening in every single industry. But I also know that we talk to decorators all day long, apparel decorators, product decorators, and they're changing the way that we work. They used to be able to say, we didn't get all of the product in, so we'll decorate this and we'll wait for some other product to come in. Now they're telling distributors, hey, we're not starting the decoration product until all the product is delivered. Well, that just sends an entire stream of activities happening that never happened before. You tell your company like Halo, we pay most of our salespeople on booked business. We get paid by customers on build business. Well, think about how that window is broadening when your decorators are saying, well, we're not going to decorate this product until we have all of it in, because you're not the only one with this problem. Every company out there has it. It's changing that one piece of impact that you're talking about in supply chain is changing every single aspect of the business, from how it's brought into the country to how it, you know, it gets the ink put on it. No silver bullets, except I think we're all going to need to work a little bit harder, because time is not on our side in this, because inventory is depleting faster. You come from the artwork side of things. Do you remember when we used to say camera ready? Meaning, or is the art ready? And now it's the things that are defining ready are different than they were 5 years ago and 10 years ago and 20 years ago. A ready order looks different today than it did 5 months ago.
Right. I was just talking with one of my clients today, actually, and they were struggling with one of their largest clients, and they were trying to get the orders started, but not all, it's an apparel decorator shop, not all the pieces were in yet, and yet the ship date never changed.
Right.
And so one of the things I was helping them with was the language that they were going to use to apply to their client, which is that the clock needs to start when everything is here. And then here is our new service level agreement that we're going to do for you based on that time frame, because of course they're a contract decorator and somebody else is ordering the shirts and, you know, they're left holding the bag. And so what's happening is they're having increased overtime and all this kind of stuff to try to meet that date. And of course, if it's an event, you know, it's the state fair or a, you know, a trade show or something, that event has to go on. And of course you have to do it. But if it's just a replenishment order or whatever, and it doesn't really matter, then yeah, we can do that next week. So it's like one of these things, they're going to have to change their service level agreement to make it so it works for what's happening in reality, not the utopia that everybody thinks is in their mind about how stuff works.
You know, you said that in a way that I took it, you know, from a macro level, put it specifically into what it looked like for a client. We basically said the same thing. The clock starts in a different place. Now think about, you know, I always saw our apparel companies. We have some, you know, they're the largest suppliers in the industry, are the, you know, the S&S's and the Alphas and the Sanmars and these companies that even the most well-run companies are struggling with fulfillment of product and how much product is on the water and what warehouse it's coming from. The decorators at the end of that supply chain, so where it used to maybe come from one supplier and one of their warehouses, that same order can potentially be coming from a number of suppliers and a number of their warehouses. So when you talk about service level agreement, go back up the food chain again, where you can no longer afford to charge that price that you were charging me a year ago. But I have an agreement with my buyer customer that this is how much he's going to pay for that shirt or that, that cap.
It's a crazy thing.
up and down. But, you know, it's, I used to talk to our legal counsel about it. We're playing chess, not checkers. You know, sometimes our industry used to be checkers. It was pretty easy. It was basic blocking and tackling. We're playing chess now. But not only are we doing that, we're doing it on multiple boards simultaneously, because each level of this chain is being affected differently. I think it's the most exciting part of my job every day right now, is to say today is not going to look like any day prior to it. One, you can't step in the same river twice, right? This is the first time we've been 600 days into a pandemic, you know, or 601 days into a pandemic. Nobody knows what, you know, day 700 of it's going to look like.
Right.
And that makes our industry pretty exciting right now.
So what is your favorite tip for listeners to get out of being a commodity, you know, instead of just, you know, you're an order taker, right? And start delivering on value. And so what should people be doing? What do you think, Paul? What should they be doing?
Recognizing that now more than ever, they have the opportunity to make an impact with their customers. Let's put it two different ways. And really, it's a nice recap to everything that we've spoken about. Things will not be back to normal. Any company that had 100 people sitting in a room talking on the phone will have people back in their office doing that, but they're not going to have 100 of them. And they're going to be all over the country. That presents a different set of challenges for people who want to recruit, retain, and recognize employees. So we have that part of it and on in every aspect of the business. And then different sets of challenges across every business. We can't run our businesses the same way that we did. I think it's a recognition that not everything that used to be was good. You know, let's not bring back all of the things that it used to be. Let's bring back some other things. And so I don't know why I'm such an optimist about this, but I just know that there's no business right now that can't reshape the way their industry does business. I don't know what the most successful distributor is going to look like 2 or 3 years from now. I hope it's my company. I think we have the tools to do it. But I don't know what problems some other distributor is solving right now that I haven't even identified yet.
It's the old statement, you know, where there's problems, there's opportunity.
Oh, and no more than now. You know, so how do you stop being a commodity? A lot of it's just add value. What value is to your customers is different than it was 24 months ago, right? It used to just be the procurement of a safe product or a value. Now it's a little bit different. It's a little bit trickier. You're solving different problems. I'll sum it up. It's finding out what value is to your customer today, because I'll guarantee it wasn't what it was just 2 years ago. I think somebody was telling me there's the part of the real estate industry that's going to be changed forever because of this, right? And you have to figure out that housing is different right now, what commercial real estate looks like right now. Somebody was telling me about restaurants and real estate and restaurants and how much that's changed. And I was like, well, tell me about it. Everything from how people are seated to the number of spots in front of the restaurant that are dedicated to takeout. You know, we're not even thinking about these things, about how it's changing, how parking lots are laid out. And everything is new and fresh right now. And I think to try to apply old rules and old processes is just a death march if you do it that way.
So really, it's keeping your head up, antennas up, right? Let's find the opportunity just by paying attention and really just talking with people and asking folks, what are they struggling with? What or how do you do that? What's going on? And I think maybe that's how we can deliver more values, because we can bring a new idea to somebody that they might not have ever thought of, because we've got the solution right here in our back pocket. Right. And they don't know what we do, and we're connecting the dots for them.
Right. Well, think about kidding. Think how much of our business last year, 2 years ago, year and a half ago, well, it actually resurged again in 2021. Think about how much of our business was based on PPE, you know, which was always part of our industry, but not the dominant part of our industry, clearly. And, you know, on PPE and then kitting and our ability to do drop ship to multiple locations. You know, there were companies out there that were doing kitting and drop ship that were kind of, they always had it, but they were able to answer challenges that they weren't presented with before in the scale that they were presented with them. We had that in our back pocket. That's what gave us the ability to step up and solve problems, because we had these skill sets all along. We're just answering different questions.
Right, right. Well, great. Well, hey, Paul, thank you so much for sharing your story of success with us today. We appreciate it. So if someone wants to learn more about what you do or how you can help them, what is the best way to contact you?
Well, you can reach me at work. I'm Senior Vice President of Sales at Halo. It's paul.bellantone@halo.com, or just go to halo.com and see what we do, and we'll see if there's a way that we can help you. And I guarantee you, because of my experience in the industry, if I can't find somebody on my team that can help you, I'll point somebody to help you, because to me, it's always about growing and protecting our industry.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Paul. You were great. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's our show today. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe so you can stay up to date on the latest Success Stories episodes. Have any suggestions for future guests or topics? Send them my way at Marshall@MarshallAtkinson.com. And we'll see you next time.